Our gospel lesson comes to us from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Let us listen to the word of God. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you remember the movie Speed? It starts with a bang and it never pauses for a moment. It's not a great movie, but it's certainly a thrill ride of a movie. Now, this is the way Mark writes his gospel. All action, rarely pausing. If you remember, in Mark, there's no manger scene. It just goes from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Jesus is baptized, tempted by Satan, calls his disciple. He's in the synagogue, and today he's doing lots of healing and casting out demons. It just doesn't seem to slow down at all. Jesus doesn't pause, except for one moment. I don't know if you noticed it in our reading. In Mark 1:35. He wakes up early in the morning while it's still dark, where he finds a deserted place all by himself, and he prays. He finally has a chance to take a deep breath, to pray, but not for long because his disciples start hunting him down. They finally find him, and they're desperate. Somehow, Simon thinks he knows what Jesus should be doing, and it's not sitting around in solitude praying. Everyone's searching for you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I imagine it's hard for any of us to get a break. It's hard for us to get away to find that deserted place these days. I know some folks here wouldn't be able to survive without your cell phones. You know what this is like. If you have any friends or family with Verizon, and they come and visit here in Jacksonville, first of all, they get all stressed out, and then they start complaining. Who doesn't have Verizon? Verizon's everywhere. Well, it's not everywhere. They start panicking. They rethink about how long they're actually going to stay. We've had a few visitors with Verizon, and luckily, the world did not end because we knew exactly what to do in this very situation. In a calm, steady voice, we said, "Don't worry, we have Wi-Fi." It didn't stop all the complaining, but case in point, it's hard for us to even take a break. And yet, even if we put all the devices away, it's still hard to find that deserted place. We have work, or we have children. We have Netflix and spouses. Actually, I think that's more for my wife, Siobhan, than me. Put yourself in her shoes. He just never stops talking. She was gone this week at a Christian educators conference, so I want to believe at the end of it, she absolutely missed all the talking. But I don't think that's the case. But even if we can put all this noise away, we still have many voices that chatter inside us. The truth is, it's hard to listen to God with all this noise. We need a place where we can get away and be silent with our God. If there's noise, or if we can talk the whole time when we pray, then how can we possibly hear God speaking to us? In her book, Grounded in God, author Suzanne Farnham says, God is speaking to us. But the noise around us is so great that we hear nothing. To listen to God, we need to become still within. Beginning in silence provides an opportunity to settle down and become attuned to God's presence. And this is exactly where we find Jesus today in our reading. Getting up early in the morning before everyone else, finding a deserted place to pray to God. Especially for Jesus, after this thrill ride of events, even the Son of God needs time to become attuned to God's presence. And when he does, even though it's just for a short time, he's reminded of God's call for him. This moment in prayer refocuses him and reminds him of the larger picture. And instead of going back to the anxious crowds and the anxious disciples, did you notice what he does? He tells Simon and his disciples that it's time to leave. Certainly, there's a lot of folks in this town in desperate need of a healer, of a miracle worker, but that's not what he's here for. His call is much bigger than this town. So he tells them, we've got to move on to neighboring towns to proclaim the message there. That's what I came here to do. A few years ago, I went to a pastor's conference. The design was to have an 8-day retreat of study and prayerful reflection. We looked at all kinds of things, finances, health. We took self-assessments. We talked about ministry and even some of our dreams. We did a lot of this kind of thing in seminary, but when you get into ministry, things start to get busy and there's less time for studying and prayerful reflection. So the Board of Pensions designed this conference for pastors in the midst of ministry. In the middle of the retreat, we had this assignment. We'd start by worshiping, and then we would leave for a few hours to be silent with God. For some of you, that would be a dream. Not for me. Needless to say, I wasn't thrilled about this assignment. Originally, I had created a 2-hour playlist of nice reflective music, but I think the conference leaders were on to people like me, and they thwarted my plans. They said silence. And during worship, we heard the story of Elijah, the one we just heard with the children. It was right after Elijah proved that our God is mightier than Baal. And after that, he has all Baal's prophets killed. And even though he literally experiences this impossible miracle, where God burns the altar even though it's drenched with water, he's frightened about what these folks might do to him. And so Elijah, the sole prophet of God, runs. He runs far away to escape them. And he hides in a deserted place after fasting for 40 days and nights. He's desperate to see and hear God. He needs God's help. There's a big wind, but God's not in the wind. Then there's an earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. Then there's this fire, but God's not in the fire. And then after these spectacular events, there's sheer silence. And it's in this sheer silence that Elijah, the prophet of God, desperate for God's voice, discovers God. It's a powerful story that reminds us that God isn't in the flashy things. It reminds us that we too are in need of sheer silence at times. In any event, after hearing this story in worship, we're to go off for 2 hours of silence. So I went to a creek that I'd previously discovered that week, and since it was a natural sound, I was in compliance with the rules. And I love the sound of water. And this is where my two-hour journey had begun. I was amazed as to what I heard and saw during this two-hour journey, and it literally transformed me. Essentially, at the end of it all, God was clearly telling me something. And I'd been on many retreats before, but I never had experienced something like this. And later, I've tried to replicate it, but it didn't work. I had the experience with the divine, which before this, I secretly always wanted. But I knew the odds weren't likely because I'm Presbyterian. We're the frozen chosen. We experience God up here, right? With our minds. That's just how we roll. And certainly I always wanted to have one of these experiences, but it just hadn't happened until I was forced to be silent against my will. I'd waited 30-something years, but I soon learned it's a double-edged sword. It sounds like it would be something that's awesome to experience God, for God to literally show me what I'm called to do. And certainly it was profound and amazing, but it was also, on the other hand, extremely frightening at the same time. Because in my case, I had plans. And after this, they did not line up with God's plans. And I also knew God's plans were going to be very uncomfortable for me. Let's get back to the Bible lesson for today. When the disciples find Jesus in the deserted place and they interrupt Jesus' prayer, I would imagine when Jesus tells them that they've got to leave, their plans of healing people in town have suddenly changed, the disciples are shocked. They probably weren't thrilled about this sudden change. They'd promised, certainly, folks, that they'd find Jesus right away and help them. And now Jesus tells them they've got to keep moving. Certainly, they were focused on the present, the here and now. And yet, after they find Jesus, they discover he had a chance to be attuned to God's presence. And God moved him from the present to the larger picture, focusing on His and their call to proclaim the good news to all people. It's a great plan. It's just different from what they were planning. For me, that 2 hours in silence where I experienced God led me on a path to starting a new worshiping community. I had a glimpse of how it would start and how it would end, but I didn't know any of the details or particulars. I didn't know where to start or how to tell others other than telling this story, the thing that had happened to me. There were many times I was very uncomfortable. I shared my experience with God and tried to convince folks that I was not crazy. I experienced some major stress, deep down in the pit kind of experiences, and at one point I literally had a nervous breakdown. But on the other hand, I had experienced some great highs, on top of the world kind of experience, where I saw God's presence, God changing lives. I saw God working in this world outside the church. Grace and forgiveness are amazing and powerful instruments that are still at work today. And I wouldn't have traded this kind of experience ever. The good far outweighed the bad. And the truth is, I don't think I had a choice. Because God's plan is much better than our plan. Now we hear in Scripture again and again, folks experiencing God in a still, quiet place, in prayer, in sheer silence. So that's my challenge for you. Pause and find a deserted place. For some of you, this is easier than others. but find a place where you can be silent. And read this Mark passage, and read the one about Elijah, and then pray. But when you pray, be sure not to do all the talking. Allow time for God to speak to you without distraction. And if God doesn't speak in your heart, now keep doing it. Tell God you're listening for what you're supposed to do. Read new passages. Keep praying in silence. Turn off your phone or get that Verizon plan. Pay attention to your surroundings and what happens throughout the day. God's speaking. But I often wonder, are we listening? Miss all the noise in our lives. So let all those noises fade away so you can hear God in the sheer silence. Now remember, if God tells you something, it may make you uncomfortable. That's probably it. If it makes you uncomfortable, God is speaking to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.